The title of my message is very unique, and this is what I've called this message today, A Satanic Ambush and the Spirit-Filled Edge. The Spirit-Filled Edge of when there is an ambush by the enemy. Judges chapter 15, 12 through 15 is the verse that the Lord gave me when he gave me this message. Here's what it says, New King James Translation, Judges 15, 12 through 15. But they said to him, speaking of Samson, we have come down to arrest you that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Samson said to them, now watch this, this was his own brethren. This was not the Philistines. This was his own tribal men going to deliver him into the hands of his enemy. You gotta point that part out. Samson says, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand. Now, why would his brethren deliver the man of God who was anointed, who is defeating the enemy, into the hands of the enemy of Israel? He's defeating the enemy, but his own brethren are going to betray him. Now, here's what happens. Surely we'll not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And when I read that about the rock, the Holy Spirit said, Samson had the anointing because he was on the rock. And they wanted to pull him off the rock and tie him up where he could not have his anointing and use it. And the rock is Jesus for us. So the enemy's attacks is to pull you off of the rock of Christ and pull you away from him, to discourage you, to make you quit church, quit going to church, believe everybody's a hypocrite, nobody's real, all that other mess that the devil says. Now, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. And they had a shout without clout, by the way. The Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax and burned as fire, and his bonds were broken from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. I grew up in a what we call a full gospel denomination. The traditional name is a Pentecostal church. And I'm a fourth generation minister. R.L. Rexroad, John Bava, my father, myself. My daughter is now fifth generation. And I remember some things about the early days of our movement in our churches. Number one, I remember that they were very small. We did not have a lot of mega churches back in the day. They were called rural churches, country churches. You would have 30 people, 50 people. Anybody grew up in one of those churches? Wasn't it wonderful? 80 people, 100 people. You know, 150 people was a big church. And the second thing I remember back in that day, and it didn't mean a lot to me then because I was a kid, but I have grown up understanding this. Most of our ministers did not have a formal education. Most of them were working in the coal mines or they were working jobs and they were called to preach. My dad, as a matter of fact, only had a 10th grade education. Most people don't know that. And he grew up in the coal mining area, but most of your ministers had to work in the mines to get income because none of the people had the income to support. In fact, in the early days, the church was mostly women who had been saved, and the men didn't go to church. They thought Pentecostals were crazy. They thought all the tongues and the shouting was just absolutely nuts. So the men stayed away. I can remember this growing up, and you had very godly, saintly women, grandmas and mothers that were in the church bringing the children to teach them the things of God. The other thing I remember is this, and I love this part. I used to love as a kid to watch a preacher come, and I'd hang around him at the parsonage, which was where my dad and the family lived near the church. Just a neat guy, and we got to hear him tell his stories, just common. And the moment that he opened up his Bible and he started reading the text, something happened, and he was transformed right in front of our eyes. And I mean, he'd start preaching fast, and he'd start perspiring. We didn't have air conditioners back then. That's why they handed out funeral fans at the camp meeting with the funeral phone number on it. They knew these crazy people are having church in 105 degrees. Somebody's going to die, and we're going to get the corpse. Hallelujah. But do you remember the fans in the early days? Okay. All right. But the thing I remember the most is the altar services. I remember Floyd Lahan could stand under the anointing back in the earlier days when he traveled, and he'd say, Holy Ghost! And he'd wave his Bible, and rows of seats would just start flying with people in them. I saw him throw his Bible 50 feet away, hit a guy's chest, and the guy was going to have heart surgery, and God healed him, and he didn't have to have the surgery. And God healed him when somebody laid a Bible on him when he was sick before, when he first got saved. And that's why he prays with people with the Bible. I saw Tia Lowry be turned into another man. Literally, the Spirit of God came on him and his eyes would get big as silver dollars and he'd just start flaying his arms like this. And I'm telling you, if you didn't want to get prayed for, the secret was fall down and don't make eye contact. Lahan would come with that Bible and me and Charlie would be sitting in the back at the Alabama camp meeting, and he was kind of, I mean, the fear of God would come on you and we'd say, don't make eye contact, don't make eye, bow your head, don't make eye contact. Because we knew if we made eye contact, he'd say, Perry, get out here. He's going to lay that Bible on you. But I remember, watch this now. I remember that the biggest thing I saw was radical transformation. That if you were an alcoholic, you didn't just come to church and just fight it off for the next 3 years. Baby, you got delivered when they prayed for you. If you had a drug problem, you didn't even need rehab back in those days. They'd pray you through till 2 or 3 in the morning till you lost the desire. They called it sanctification. And I sometimes crave to go back to those days. As a matter of fact, in Flat Top, West Virginia, I think it's still called that, there was a tiny shotgun church that my dad was attending. There was a preacher by the name of George Spears. And Brother Spears was a rather uneducated man, but he could preach under the anointing. There was a woman attending the church whose husband was from Greece. He worked in the mines. And he sat out there one day. He pulled up in the parking lot, and his intent was to pull his wife out of the church in front of everybody. And nobody knew it, but he'd been physically hitting her, telling her she's not to go to that church. All of a sudden, a man jumped up, and I believe Dad said it was Brother Spears himself, and he didn't know the guy was in the parking lot, and the Holy Ghost began to speak, and a message was given out in tongues, and the interpretation was received by the man because the person who spoke in tongues was speaking Greek. Uneducated man speaking Greek. The man heard it, because that was the day before air conditioning, windows were open, and ran in the front of that little church, front doors, ran to the altar screaming, threw himself off the altar. And when it was discovered, he said that that man called his name in Greek and said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I quote, I've seen your violent spirit. I've seen your hatred toward my work. Unless you repent now, your soul will be lost in hell forever. And he knew nobody there knew the Greek language. And he became a member of that church. Does anybody just want to see more than an average church service? Does anybody want to see the power of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, demonstrated in the body? And it's going to happen. I'm telling you, before God, I really believe with all of my strength within me that it's going to happen. But the key to what we're going to have in the last days, Joel 2, Acts 2, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, we've not got there yet. We have had outpourings in what I call selective places. We've had Nick Walker, who's had long revivals in West Virginia, but it was a location. I've had long revivals, Pulaski, Virginia, 11 weeks in La Follette, Tennessee, 5.5 weeks in Dalton, Georgia, every night. But that was selective locations. But God said, I will pour it out on all flesh, which is every nation, every skin color, every ethnic group. It'll be servants and handmaidens, which is the older generation. It'll be sons and daughters, which is the younger generation. It will be accompanied by visions, and it will be accompanied by dreams. Now, if you'll go to your Bible, anytime that the Holy Spirit gets involved with people, one of the manifestations you see is revelation. Okay? When the Holy Spirit came upon John the Baptist, remember John the Baptist in his mother's womb, you have that example. Example, you have the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. You have the Holy Spirit that Daniel, it says the Spirit of the Holy God was in him. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, and I'm going somewhere with this in a minute, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, one of the things that will begin to happen is there will be divine revelation that is going to be made known. Now, I'm going to tell you 4 things about the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to go into 2 major things that the Holy Spirit himself directed me to share with those of you that are here. John 16 and 8, the Spirit of God, he is a person, not an it. He is the person of the Godhead. He reproves the world. The Greek word means to convict. He convicts the world. John chapter 14, 26, He is the comforter, the parakletos. That means one called alongside to help another person. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says he is our intercessor. What does that mean, him being our intercessor? It means he is one who stands in the gap for us between our problems, between the enemy. He's standing between that, and he brings our prayers to Jesus in heaven, who presents them to the Father. We also find out in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. I used to love to hear Kenneth Hagin explain the word helpeth. Long Greek word that I wouldn't even try to pronounce. And that word is a word that means to take hold of together with. So in other words, infirmity does not just mean sickness. Asthenia in Greek can mean a weakness that can be a physical weakness, a mental weakness, a spiritual weakness. It is a weakness of any kind that you're dealing with in your flesh while you're living in your body. But the Holy Spirit takes hold of together with you. You have to cooperate with him to do what? To make intercession for you and to help you take hold of that with you to defeat any type of a weakness that may come in your life. Now, the Bible says this: the Spirit of God only speaks what he hears, or what he hears the Father speak. Even Jesus said this: I come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me, and I only speak what my Father tells me. Now, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will only speak what he gives it. Now, watch this trio here. So Jesus only says what the Father gives him, but the Holy Spirit only says what Christ gives him. So in other words, we have a parakletos, we have a helper, we have an attorney, as they said today. We have an attorney in heaven who is Jesus, but guess what? We have one on the earth. The Holy Spirit will abide with you forever, Jesus said. He is on the planet. He is with us here. He is here now. He is here today in this meeting. And yet Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Now watch this. Jesus is dealing with, answering our prayer, of course, Jesus is dealing with sins. He is the high priest ever living to make intercession for us. Yes, but the Holy Spirit, watch this now, is dealing with our problems on earth. Jesus is taking care of all those spiritual problems, and he does, yes, answer your prayers of things on earth. But the Holy Spirit is the avenue and the person to whom makes intercession to him and presents that to God. So you think about this. You got Satan don't have no help. He's stuck somewhere up in the second heaven trying to get access to the third. One of these days going to get cast out to the first heaven down here on earth. He don't have any help. He's just an accuser of the brethren. But if he comes down here on earth, he's got to deal with the Holy Spirit. And if he goes up in heaven, he's got to deal with Jesus. Hey, you can't lose with the stuff I use. Hallelujah. You know, that's Reverend Ike. Remember him years ago? That's his way. You can't lose with the stuff I use. I've got the Holy Spirit here. I've got Jesus in heaven. And I got angels working in between. Somebody needs to praise God for that little revelation. Amen. But what I want to do tonight is cover two things that are very significant. And the first one is this. It hit me one day of something called the power of recall. Say this with me: the power of recall. What do I mean by the power of recall? Jesus said this, that the Spirit of God is going to bring all things to your remembrance. Now, how many of you could use some memory help? Look, this is a 50 and over crowd in case you can't see them. Just so you'll know. Well, no young person raised their hand. We all could use memory help, or what about what I call recall help. Let me give you the verse. It's John 14 and it's verse 16. I'm sorry, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Here's how the brain works. Number one, encoding information. After it encodes the information, it goes through the process of storing the information. Then there comes a time where it's called recalling the information. Encoding, storing, and recalling. Encoding is when the electrical impulses and the chemicals of your brain are working together as you gather the information. Storing it is how the brain and the neurons of the brain are changing, okay? And they change with your speech, they change with talk, and as you concentrate, meditate, think, and see, it changes, but it stores the information. Now, the problem is retrieving. Have you ever seen a person and you just knew their name, but you couldn't think of their name? How many have done that? Please make me feel better. Would you please raise your hand so I'll feel better? Okay, and you're just saying, God, I know these people. I've known them my whole life. Help me, Jesus. All right, now something's happening because in the human body there are what's called telomeres, and they break off the older you get, and they contain information. So in other words, what happens is some of your memory loss that you have, it's not that you're getting dementia or Alzheimer's as they call it. It can be simply because of age, the changes of the neurological part of your brain. Now they've got things now you can take to try to boost that and help that, and exercise and keeping blood going to the brain. All of that is a help to keep your memory going, keeping your memory active, read books, you know, do puzzles, all that they'll tell you is a big help. But I want to tell you something. There's something else that's very important to understand in the avenue of the Spirit of God giving you the ability to recall. Now, what do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. He helps us when we receive the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit, but he also does something called quickening the mortal body. It says it this way: if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that Spirit shall quicken your mortal body. Now that explains, in case you're new to all of this, that explains when you see an old saint of God and they get to doing the shimmy. Ooh, you know, they're not acting something out. And I've seen them do the bunny hop, you know. Tommy Bass got a bunny hop on him. Boy, he can, you know, I start doing that and my, you know, I'm saying, dragging my leg along with me trying to do the bunny hop. No, we growing up in Pentecost, you know, we had the helicopter and we had the dip, you know, and we had the kick, you know, they used to call that the Chuck Berry, and the preacher would get anointed. He'd do, you'll get that in a minute. You know, you'd have to have an imagery there of a Chuck Berry. So we had all these names but see, we didn't understand as kids what was going on. They were being quickened, made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, think about this, the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is in their mortal body. And I saw a woman, there's some folks here from the Edgemere Church where Andrew grew up, and Brenda, of course, where she went. And so I remember on the front row, she was a real tall lady, and she was really a quiet lady. She would worship like this, and she'd raise her hands, sitting on the front row, 3-week revival. And one night, like the glory hit. How many know what I mean when I say the glory of God hit? And that woman started shaking so hard. I thought, dear God, if she's got false teeth, they're going to fall out. If she's got a wig, she's going to flip it right off her head. I'm getting worried. Eyelashes are going to come off, you know. I'm just thinking, we're going to have a problem here in a minute. But she's going every direction. I said, God, can I ask you a question? Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe the Lord told me this. I said, why do we do this? I understand the quickening. I understand what's happening. She feels the power of a living, resurrected God in her body. He said, now, son, let me tell you something else that happens. He said, your spirit wants to get close to me. Your flesh don't, but your spirit does. And sometimes the power of the world to come, remember that, the scripture, the power of the world to come, you taste it. And when you start tasting of the power of the world to come, your spirit wants to come into my presence so bad, and your body won't let your spirit out of your body, and you're just doing this because your spirit's trying to get out and get to the glory realm, and your body said, ain't time to go yet, ain't time to go. Come on, talk to me some. Can't go yet, can't die yet. No, it ain't your time. Come on, let me out of here. I feel some glory. I want to get to the throne room. I want to see my Father. I want to see the presence of the angels, and your body won't let it out. So next time you see somebody just flipping and flopping and shouting like a fish out of water, just say, well, guess what? Guess what their situation is? What's wrong with them? Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with them. What's wrong with them? They're just trying to get to heaven and can't get there yet. Come on, praise God, if you understand what I'm saying. Now, recall is important. Let me explain it. When you read the four Gospels, have you ever wondered, how did these guys remember everything said? And Jesus came across the sea to the other side, to the land of the Gadara. And there met him a man of the tombs, which had an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. For he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And as Jesus stepped off the boat, he came to him and fell at his feet, worshiping him. And the spirit said within the man, that Jesus, thou Son of God, do not come to torment us before the time. And Jesus said unto him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he commanded the spirit, and he said, come out of the man. And there was a herd of swine about 2,000 feeding in the mountains. And the spirits came out of the man and entered into the swine. And the swine, now wait a minute here. I've got a pretty good memory. But for me to remember that conversation, if I'm not writing it down, how do I do that? How does a man by the name of John get arrested and go to a rocky island called the Isle of Patmos? And all of a sudden he says, I got in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he's caught up into heaven. And he said in chapter 4, he said, I'm caught up into heaven. I see these living creatures and the angels. I come over to another chapter, he writes, and he says, I see a seven sealed book sealed with seven seals and a lamb coming out breaking the seals. And he gets to another chapter, he said, but all of a sudden I see 144,000 men that getting sealed with the seal of God. I come to another chapter, he said, but then I saw an angel in heaven who was offering up the incense upon the golden altar with all the prayers of the saints. He comes to chapter 9 and said, but then I went down to the earth and I saw an angel with the key to a pit, and the angel opens up the pit, and these strange creatures that look like hair like women, crowns on their head, but they look like locusts with sting in their tails, and they're going to torment men. And I heard a voice say, and I heard an angel say, and you come over to chapter 10 and chapter 11, you see two witnesses and you see the whole thing come. You come to chapter 12 and you see the war in heaven, the cosmic war between the dragon and Michael the archangel. And then you leave there and you come to chapter 13. I see a beast coming up out of the sea. I see one coming up out of the earth. I see in that vision somebody's going to have a mark in their head and in their hand. You can't buy or sell without them. But then I look back into heaven and I see 144,000 singing with harps, worthy is the lamb that's redeemed. I said, I come to chapter 15 and I'm standing in front of a temple and I see angels coming out with trumpets. Then I see angels coming out with seven vials. And all of a sudden, he said, I look down and I see Mystery Babylon. And I see a woman riding a beast with seven heads. And how can a 95-year-old man sitting on an island who was boiled in oil and survived it according to the early fathers, who then had the emperor so mad that he couldn't kill him, that he sent him to the Isle of Patmos to die on that island. But instead of dying, he saw the resurrected Jesus, and the entire history. Do you know how you do it? You do it with a recall of the power of the Holy Ghost. My Lord, I'm just starting to preach. That's my foundation. Give the Lord praise, because we're about to go somewhere. Woo! Hallelujah.
I heard this many times on Saturday afternoon. I have never missed a main event in many years, and this week's services were the greatest revelation of God's Word yet. Personally, the morning service has released the most profound right now practical series of revelations that I've actually ever heard in my 46 years of ministry. The five messages that I preached were all new insights, some I had never seen until recently, that were birthed in the secret place of prayer. I felt impressed to emphasize lessons on defeating the strange attacks of the enemy, and I included a significant prophetic update, also teaching on the meaning of the year 5783 and teaching the authority of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Here's the title of my five messages: The Five Prophetic Omens Coming in 2023, The Prophetic Decree of the Watchers, The Satanic Ambush in the Spirit-Filled Edge, Recovering When Satan Chastises Your Peace, How to Issue a Restraining Order on the Enemy. Tony Scott taught a word that opened up a new spiritual level, and the title of the message was Living in the Highest Kingdom Life. Ron Carpenter brought the people to their feet with a powerful word, the legal side of prayer. Tommy Bates built our faith and just literally brought in the glory of the Lord with It's Time to Release the Supernatural. This main event series is a solid investment in your spiritual growth, explaining battle-proven tactics, and also increases your knowledge and provides faith-building truths that unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the time of the end. There are four ways in which to order. Call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD or call our Voice of Evangelism offices at 423-478-3456. Or you can order online at perrystone.org requesting the 2022 main event CDs or the DVDs. You can also mail in your order to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Now always remember to request either 22ME CD for the CDs or 22ME DVD for the 8 DVDs. Some DVD messages also have various pictures and scriptures to enhance the meaning of the message so that you can see and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the 8 CDs are $55. The 8 DVDs are $95, and we will pay the postage. If this year has been difficult and you've been hit from different directions, I can assure you these messages will give you weapons for warfare, tools for living, encouragement in your spirit, and help build your faith. And they will help you to break the strongholds and oppression of the adversary. The prophetic update is also very powerful. Please order yours today and help keep Manifest on the air. Okay, you watched an excerpt of The Satanic Ambush and the Spirit-Filled Edge, which was, the Lord woke me up in the wee hours of the morning and began to share with me some fresh revelation insight for the people, and it will be for you as well, concerning sudden attacks created by Satan or created by circumstances or created by people, and how that you can have the Spirit-filled edge. And we go into that in the rest of the teaching. I do apologize to so many of you because you say, what about the rest of the message? Well, because Manifest is on a very tight schedule, we can't divide a program up into three sections. Here's the reason why. Because if we try to do that, you're still going to have 10 minutes to 15 minutes left out of almost any teaching that we do. And so that's why we offer the CDs and DVDs. Man, I really do hope that you will take the opportunity to get this material. And let me say something too. You have to understand that we do not, in our ministry, send out donor letters asking for help. We don't send out letters to partners asking for help. We don't send out monthly letters. We don't send out appeals for finances. We have a magazine we put out, and we let people know what's going on. We stay in contact with our partners through our monthly Manna Message of the Month Club and things like that. But by and large, you have to understand that it's the resources that we offer that keep the program going around the world. And we are so grateful for that. Now, we have added on so many new places. We're now on in the Pacific Rim, in the area of Australia. We're on throughout the nation of Russia, through Ukraine. Many of the Ukrainian people are able to watch the program on a special network there. One of our networks that we work with very closely has added somewhere in the neighborhood of one country over 500 million possible viewers from their telephone app. And so the Voice of Evangelism ministry is reaching around the world. I want to say this: in all my years of ministry, which will be going on 47 years, we are reaching more people than we've ever reached. We're winning more souls to the Lord than we've ever won to the Lord. We have more projects being out there helping to feed people, clothe people, missions projects, etc. And it's possible because of one, the resource material that we have, and number two, because of the partners of our ministry. And I just want to give you a great big shout out to all of you. Some of you have been with me for 20, 30, and 40 years. Many of our good partners have gone to be with the Lord that knew me as a teenage preacher, and we're going to all be together one day. But I thank you for helping us to do a global ministry. And with God's help and by the grace of God, we're going to stand strong and keep preaching the truth of God's word around the world. Thank you for being a part. See you next week.